if you can hear Christmas music in the background, my daughter Jerusha probably giggling away. She's playing with her new toys after an early Christmas for her. And other noises, well, hey, it's summer here and this is the last Sunday barbecue podcast for 2014 before I throw the blog into summer series mode and be back on the 23rd of January next year in time for the long-term plan consultation. So, split podcast on this one. First of all, we'll be taking a brief look back at our worship, the mayor, and his year that was, before taking a look back over the blog for 2014 and going into a prelude for 2015. Well, for our mayor, after the councillors got reviewed last week and where I picked out three villains and three heroes and one getting a special mention, Councillor Kathy Casey for her social services, we look back at our leader of our city and institution, that is His Worship Mayor Len Brown. Now, I could rattle off an entire 7.5 minutes on our mayor, but I don't need to do that because Simon Wilson from Metro has done that for me. Thank you, Simon. That said, this time last year, Simon did predict that the mayor would be gone by lunchtime. I think a few others predicted that too, but no, Len is still here and he will be here until the end of the council term, which I think is the 30th of September 2016. That said, what has it been like for Len? Well, as Simon has put it in Metro, as is with many discussions both from left, right, liberal, conservative, have all been disappointed in one aspect or another with a mayor who actually did relatively well in his first 3 years as mayor, that is uniting the city and getting behind a grand vision and getting all the legacy stuff put together. However, that has now come to actually befuddle Len and to a point befuddle the council as well. After the controversy that broke last year, which led into a censure of 15-5, led by the deputy mayor at the time, things haven't really gone that well for Len. The city has continued to plod on, but a lot of things are starting to come home to roost for him and for the governing body itself, as they particularly and acutely found out when I was giving them a good hammering over the past since September 20th, when it was pretty evident National were coming in for her third term. Social activities aside, yes, Simon is right in fact that the mayor has lost his nerve. Big projects that he's been associated with, the City Rail Link, progress on the unitary plan, although that is with independent commissioners at the moment, and of course the management of rates have been dropped, and from sight will now appear in some major difficulty. Well, as we're seeing with the rate situation, going in for some very large difficulty. The City Rail Link, well, unfortunately people attach it to him, and it's it does force people like myself and Transport Blog to start a thing called hashtag CRL Facts to point out the benefits of the City Rail Link when the main project gets away in 2018 and how it benefits the entire city as a whole, using CRL Facts to quickly and very simply, as I did, and as all sides agreed once they read it, on how the CRL benefits everyone, and specifically those along the Western Line, i.e. West Auckland. But we are, while Simon goes on about reform, urban regeneration, that, and how the mayor is going up what's effectively the bugger's muddle, or the bugger's middle, muddling along, it's not really benefiting the city as much. We are seeing cases of time and time again, and I keep seeing this on Facebook more than anywhere else, is he's good at telling, people do tell that Len is good with the stories, likes the enthusiasm, and then we wait and nothing happens. Cue when the Manukau station was opened, I think last year, or maybe the year before, sorry, it's a bit hot at the moment, summer's here, and yeah, even my brain's just about to go into holiday mode after this podcast. But he said that the South Link would be built and action would be promised. Well, the latest out after reading a piece from Stuff, which I will put up next year, is that No commitments, and Auckland Transport as a result is dragging the chains. So that fight will continue while, as Simon says, we wait and wait and wait and nothing happens. So we are wondering what's left till 2016 on how Len's going to handle the situation. Well, the rates debate's going to be an important one. I saw on Thursday him trying to lead the council through in the rates discussions. The LTP long-term plan was adopted for consultation on Thursday, but you can see that it's no longer passion in there and leading through governance, more now through an autocratic reign like we're seeing with this current central government. Well, as you saw in the 10 questions, which I'll link back up, he is now doing things more autocratically, and we're not seeing any flexibility where flexibility is needed. Otherwise, we're seeing things coming home to roost, as I have warned them about the City Rail Link. I said it was going to be 2017, 2018. Hello, that's when the main project's going to start. Rates, yep, we'll look where we are now and look where we're going to end up be. The Auckland Plan, we'll look what is happening. That slowly gets unravelled in the Unitary Plan. Well, the commissioners are busy picking that apart at the moment against the council's favour. So as we see, wonder what's going to happen to 2016. My predictions are that the mayor has probably lost that so-called enthusiasm, that mojo, that would allow him to lead through strong debates and govern in a non-partisan manner, and able to combine just about everyone to give it to get things forward to a degree of now autocracy and an autocratic manner, which sees him more running like a dictatorship, as we got the first hints of properly on Thursday as he was shutting down debate, although that TK Cameron Brewer did manage to rattle off an opposition filibuster. It was actually a pretty strong and solid one too, because it's actually what a good portion of the city is thinking in all quarters. But yeah, we could see, and this is the worst case scenario, because this is not going to do the transport side any good, as the Auditor General pointed out. We're going to see something more autocratic from then over the next, until the end of this term at 2016. And then we come to the elections, which I've got to make of no predictions yet. But Simon, like me, and I do agree with the suggestions, this is where Len can break away from the autocratic situation that he's risking in running, and how to restore that passion we saw in the first term. LTP not considered in consideration in this part, although that said, if he was more flexible, then the LTP wouldn't be an issue as it is now. So the three things Len could do: spread your wings, take a few risks. What have you got to lose? Lots of issues to choose from. Take a major project, or even a major project to restore the glory of the West scene that continuously gets hammered. The most recent story I've seen is that the West City Mall in Henderson, a metropolitan centre under the Unitary Plan, is dead, while Albany, St. Luke's and Manukau have car parks that full that you either go around and around and around in circles for 20 minutes looking for a car park, or you do what Auckland Transport suggested and take the train to these places, or the Northern Express to Albany along the busway. You could restructure the office and get rid of half of the political advisors, as Simon said, and bring in kind of a kitchen cabinet of bright minds and powers to get things done and be brave about backing them. Just got to watch you don't go down the autocratic path there, but yes, that would work. Because at the moment, if the way things are going, we are looking at rather than autocratic, a technocratic situation. That, and as I've commented on before, that is really bugging the city. And the third one is fight back. When they start niggling on TV, go and rip their heads off as you should. And the fourth one I would put in there is empower the deputy mayor, Penny Hoggs. Since the controversy last year, the city automatically looked to Deputy Mayor Hulse as a leader, and she's naturally slipped into the role quite well as de facto mayor for large portions of it. We saw a real good taste of Mayoress Hulse late this year when Len and his family went overseas for a month, and Deputy Mayor Hulse became acting Mayor Hulse. And for a month, the Herald was quiet of doom and gloom stories, and the city through both at council, governance level and management level, that is the bureaucracy, and the city itself was running actually quite well without the issues cropping up. So this could be a prelude in what we could expect under a refreshing governance and leadership role under Marius Holst from 2016. But in the meantime, we might want to empower, Lynn might want to empower her more to keep the city united. That said, it does relegate Lynn to lame duck status, but I think that's already been achieved anyway. So if you can't do the last three, point number four is technically already underway. And as I said, the city was pretty happy under Mayor Holst's short but lively regime, judging from the lack of doom and gloom and scandal stories in the Herald that month. So, 2014 for me, the year that was. Well, it was another good year on the blog, breaking record numbers. The blog broke the daily record this month when I called out the Public Transport Users Association's attack on Auckland Transport after the infamous Britomart riot. The last record that was set was back in 2013 when I was commenting on the unitary plan feedback round. But yep, we broke the daily record this month. I suppose when you use the words claptrap, that always lights up Google and the search engines. In November, we also broke the monthly record on the back of some big stories. While other blogs were facing a bit of a dip owing to the central elections, I've managed to break a monthly record, and growth continues quite well through the year. Also, the blog continues to hold some influence and getting growing influence over our democratic institutions, as well as more media outlets now paying attention. Hey, I got quoted recently in stuff for a piece on the 5,000 transport survey, so that's another good mark. The blog's advocacy role is being used at the moment to push for a pocket park, which the wider council agrees with, so that's more going to continue next year. But overall, it has been a very good year indeed, with wins, losses, and some quite interesting things cropping up. So that leads into 2015. Well, 2015 is going to be an extremely busy year from January to July, when the long-term plan gets adopted and goes into operation. We have the long-term plan, the master budget debate itself. Next year, I start my unitary plan hearings on the 7 points that I raised in my submission. The first 2 points I go into bat for is on amending the parking rules in the residential areas, the residential and business zone areas, followed by adding the new super metropolitan centre zone, which the recent city plan I'm going to work through next year to use as evidence to further push that zone. After that, then we start going into some rezoning after that, which will take me through to 2016. Other projects for 2015 would be hopefully getting this pocket part done up in Lot 59 Manukau, quite a few other things that I didn't see coming up as well. So, yep, 2015 is going to be quite busy, especially with the unitary plan and the long term plan. This concludes the Sunday barbecue series, I should say, for 2014. The blog now goes into summer series mode, where I just post up the occasional summer pictures until January 2023. So from now till then, it's sans blog mode and sans local politics mode until then, with January 23 being when the long-term plan consultations start. So until then, Talking Auckland wishes everyone a Merry Christmas and a good summer. If you're in the Southern Hemisphere, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, a good Merry White Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we will see you in 2015.